Turn with me to Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm not sure I can't remember preaching on this one, because this is one of those contentious little passages that has had a little bit of abuse over the years by people wanting to lord it over other people, which is ironic considering it's about submission. But that's the way it's been, that's the way it's been handled. Let me read it to you. Ephesians chapter 5. And really the heart of this passage is verse 21. Everything after verse 21 is in the context of verse 21. So let me read it to you. Ephesians 5:21. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the heart of this. Submit to one another. That's everybody, not just particular individuals. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. He's savior of his body, the church. And as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she'll be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are all members of this body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother, is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. It's a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And then he targets some other folks in our relationships. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you'll live a long life on the earth. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline instruction that comes from the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all of your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good things we do, whether we're slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven. And he has no favorites. So a passage about how we treat one another and how we live together. So the spiritual discipline I want to focus on today is, I've never preached on this before, is the discipline of submission. And I suspect you're probably about as excited about this subject as you were about paying your TV license, or your community tax, or your road tax. I'm sure you were thinking, oh great, submission. Lovely subject for a Sunday morning. Submission feels like doing the right thing, but wondering what you're going to get in return. That's our big issue with submission most of the time, isn't it? I know the Bible says that we're all supposed to submit to authorities, don't we? We know that verse and we respond to that. But there's something in me, and I suspect there's something in you, that resists that word submission. Being submissive, following the rules, it doesn't sound cool for a start, does it? Doesn't sound very rebel without a cause, really, does it? James Dean, it's not really that. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I feel like a bit of a mug. I feel like a bit of a mug, because there's me paying my tax, ensuring what I'm supposed to legally insure, doing things the right way and the honest way and the honourable way and submitting to the laws of the land. And you look around you and you see everybody cutting corners and trying to get away with whatever they can get. And you feel a bit of a mug because I'm doing it, but nobody else is. And it gets really frustrating, this idea of submission. If you have trouble in this area, it gets worse before it gets better. Let me tell you this. Let me go back a bit. There you go. Because submission is required in a lot of areas of our life, isn't it? In society, we submit to the authorities. You know about that, the police, the government. And it costs you money to be submissive, doesn't it? To pay your taxes properly and to do all of that stuff. To pay your way. To be legal. In the marketplace, it's quite tricky to be submissive. We submit to bosses. But what do you do if you have a tough boss? It's even harder when the boss asks you to bend the rules and to cheat yourself. How do you do it? What do you do about that? In our homes, we have to be submissive according to God's word. Spouses are supposed to submit to each other. But what if it's an abusive environment? What if one is taking advantage of another? How do you submit in those sort of situations? What if they're demanding? Parents, submit to your parents. But what if your parents, are just demanding all the wrong things of you and just beating you down all the time? How, as a child, do you respond to that in a difficult environment? How about the church submitting to leaders? What if the leadership is oppressive and heavy shepherding and all that sort of stuff? How do you respond to this discipline of submission when that happens? I think of a soldier sitting in a foxhole. That's when submission gets really tricky. A soldier sitting in a foxhole when an officer comes up to him and says, "Would you just run over to that tree, please, and draw their fire so that we can..." I mean, do you submit to that order when it potentially risks your own life? Yes, sir. Do you do that? And some people actually are under orders where their lives are physically at risk sometimes. So I have to ask you, if you knew this was a subject today, why on earth are you here? Why did you come? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you're thinking, curses. Or maybe you're thinking, I wish I'd invited the wife. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Or I wish I'd invited my husband. Maybe that's where you're at today. The bottom line is, when you think about submission, it's not the most attractive subject in the world. It's a burden, it's a hassle, it feels degrading. And generally, the only reason most of us submit is because we're worried that we might get A, a ticking off, or B, caught out, or C, a fine. And often that dictates whether we submit or not to certain situations. The only time we really like submission is when it means we can avoid taking responsibility for something. I don't know if you've ever said this to somebody, but when it's a tricky situation and it's all going off and you just look to someone and say, "Well, you're the boss." And then we're quite happy with submission when that happens, aren't we? You be the boss. Because you have to carry the can and you have to sort this out and you have to deal with it. You're the boss. And we like submission when it means we can avoid responsibility. But most of the time, we really struggle with this. I'd struggle with this. I said things might get better before they get worse. So don't despair. So that was the worst bit. Today we're going to look up some misconceptions about what submission is and what it isn't, particularly if you look in the dictionary. If you look in the dictionary, it actually says it's being submissive means means actually submitting to someone in a more powerful position than you. That's not actually the biblical definition of submission. It's not about whether the other person is powerful or not. That's irrelevant to Christian submission. There is power in submission, but it's the power to change your heart and your life. It's the power to become like Christ. And when I think of Jesus, the one person who didn't have to submit to anybody. Why? Because he is the Lord. And yet we see he becomes submissive. He becomes obedient even to death on a cross. He became submissive. Submissive to the will of his Father. Even if that meant the loss of his own life and pain and trauma. And if anybody shows us what submission means and the power of submission, it's Jesus Christ hanging on a cross. The power of that is staggering. And it's submission. It's submission. There is power in submission. When you learn to be submissive in the right way and to the right things and right circumstances, there's immense power, and Jesus demonstrates that. I want to start by laying out a definition, and it's not the Oxford English Dictionary definition. I don't think that's the biblical definition. There is power in laying open your heart and your life in the right way and in the right circumstances. Here's a little definition for you. It is not abdicating your will. It is not giving up all of your power. It is not becoming a doormat to the whims of another person. Submission is yielding a preference, not to yourself, but to somebody else. I think submission is about servanthood. I think that's the heart of submission, is about being a servant. It's yielding a preference, yielding an advantage to someone else, irrespective of whether they're powerful or not. They might not be powerful at all. So the Oxford English Dictionary doesn't apply here. They might have no power at all, but you are yielding a preference to them. That's what biblical submission is all about. 1 Corinthians 13, that great passage on love, says, love does not seek its own. Seek its own what? Well, it doesn't seek its own preference. It doesn't seek its own advantage. That's what submission is all about. Submission is letting go of something that you have the power and the right to hang on to in consideration of the needs of another person. That's submission. Biblical submission has tremendous power to help two very different kinds of people. So I'm going to mention these two very different kinds of people. You will be one or the other, probably. But biblical submission has power to help you if you're one of these. The first type of person is going to help. Oh, my bullet point has disappeared behind that. But that's first type of person it's going to help is those who don't feel they ever need to submit, who feel powerful and don't ever feel they're ever wrong or ever need to listen to anybody else. Those people who see submission as weakness. They consider their own ideas sufficient, their own way of doing things always right. The only way is their way. Their own control is essential for their own happiness. And for those folks, submission has an immense power to change them. And I've fallen prey to this. Have you ever fallen prey to this? I know I'm right, and I'm sticking to my guns, and everybody else is wrong, and, you know, you want to control stuff? I can fit in that category. I can be a backseat driver. You ever done that? That's the sort of thing. I know best. Turn left. Stop. Slow down. I'm terrible for that. It's worse if you're a Baptist minister, quite frankly, because you have things to deal with like church meetings. Submission and church meetings. Oh, my word. Because you feel passionately about something, you feel right, you think it's biblical, you think, come on, and then the church says, nope. And what do you do? And we've had that recently. We've had that in our diaconate. I've brought some proposal and I thought, this is, and the answer's been no. What do you do when that happens? What's my response? Can I yield a preference? Can I yield a preference to others? And it's so hard sometimes, isn't it? So hard. I've got good news for you. If you're in this category, you can't submit. That's the word underneath there. If you can't submit, there is good news. There is someone in the universe to whom you can hand over control of your apparent job of being divine. You can do that. You no longer have to be CEO of the universe. You can hand over control to God. Isn't it good to know that the universe existed before you ever got here? You weren't responsible for it. You're not responsible for managing it or keeping it spinning. It's not your job. Isn't it good to know that you can sometimes just submit and let go of your preference? Did you know that cemeteries are full of indispensable people? Cemeteries are packed with indispensable people without whom the world would have fallen over. Or maybe not, because the world continues without them. This church will continue without me. I am not indispensable. You are not indispensable. There is someone who is in charge and it's not me. Your friends can figure some things out without you if you struggle to submit because of this need not to look weak or to be in control. Listen, your friends can figure things out without you. Your kids have other sources of valuable information besides you. Isn't that shocking? People you work with have ideas and solutions that you never thought of. Isn't that amazing? What a relief. To those of us who think we're too strong to submit, I've got good news for you. You can be strong when you submit. In fact, I believe only strong people can really submit. It takes real strength. Real strength is measured by how well you can restrain yourself and your preferences, how diligently you can yield to another person sometimes when it's the right thing to do. Biblical submission is only something strong people can do. So if you're in this category and you think it's weak to submit, I challenge you on that and say, actually, to yield a preference to somebody else takes strength. Takes a lot of strength. You have a great example of this in Jesus, don't you? At 12 years old, we read, he submitted to his parents. How crazy is that? He's God, and he's submitting to a couple of teenage Judean peasants who don't know how the world works or how atoms stick together, or they don't know the future and what's going to be around the corner. They don't know God's eternal plan. They don't know what's coming up. And yet he yields to them. He submitted to his parents at the age of 12. And that's staggering, isn't it? He made them. He created Mary and Joseph, and he's submitting to them. Can you believe that? What's that about? Submission requires staying strong in the service and the needs of others beyond myself. That's what it's about. It's actually what heaven looks like, isn't it? Imagine a world where that happens, where everybody is using their strength and their power to submit and yield to the needs and the well-being of others. Wow, that's heaven. That's submission. That's the first type of people who are going to struggle with submission. You think it's weak to submit. It's not. Here's the second bunch. Here's the second bunch who will struggle with submission, but actually it has the power to change you. And that's for folks who give up their power or avoid responsibility and surrender to the wrong things. far too easily give away what God has given them. These are not people who are submissive, they're subservient. Some people think so little of themselves, they don't think they have any power to give away, and they don't think they have any advantage to yield to somebody else. Some people actually don't believe they have anything to give. I don't think either of those are true for anybody on the planet. I don't believe that about anybody. You do have preferences, and you do have advantages, but you're probably out of touch with them. And so they're functionally not yours to give, but they are really yours. You're not giving in when you do this, you're giving up. And if you yield just because it's easier than fighting, if you defer to other people because you don't think you have anything of value to offer anyway, I want you to know that that's not what God wants. That's not what God wants. There is a better way. The better way is to affirm your preferences, to know you have them, to recognize your advantages, to acknowledge you have them, and then from that position of strength and power, to choose to give them rather than just have them taken away passively by everybody every time. That's how God wants us to be. You know, submission is often, you know, is it a doormat? Most of us think it's a doormat, but actually submission is a doorway. Submission isn't a doormat, it's a doorway. And there's a really good reason for developing this, because it's a doorway to cooperative relationships. And we need that. You need that in your job, in your work life, down your street, in your community groups, in your social life, in your church, in your family. We need that. We need cooperative relationships, and submission is the only way you get it. It's the only way you get it. Simply no way that people can work together or relate to each other unless they are willing to defer to other people. There's no way it happens. And we can go through the list, can't we? And there's a list in your life where to cooperate in relationship, you have to do this. If you want to get married, well, the whole vow thing is all about that, isn't it? All that I have, I give to you. All that I am, I share with you within the love. It's about deferring. It's about giving. It's giving and taking. It's that going on all the way through. Marriage. If you want to raise kids right, you have to be wrong sometimes, and you'll have to admit it. You'll have to defer. You'll have to yield a preference. I got that wrong. Ephesians 4. Parents, do not exasperate your children. I love that verse. Kids love that verse. It's good they don't learn it. No, they love that verse. And they're right. I don't know anything that's more exasperating. When you were a kid, anything more exasperating than to feel your parents never really heard your opinions or wanted to know them, that your parents never admit mistakes? The only way you can do that is if you approach it with this submissive attitude as a parent and you defer to the preferences and the needs of others. You have to do that. Otherwise, you just exasperate your children. We need to raise kids that way. We need friendships that way. Friendships and our work relationships depend on submission. How much fun is it being with someone who always has to be in control? Have you ever worked with someone like that? It drives you bonkers. It drives you mad. They have to be in control, and they have to control it. They micromanage you, and they can't let you do, they can't defer anything. They cannot be submissive on any front. It's a nightmare. Wouldn't it be better if they could yield their preference and tune into your needs sometimes in relationship? Talk about friendships. Isn't a friend someone who defers to your needs and just doesn't, if all you ever happens is you meet with them and they talk about themselves for 3/4 of an hour and they say, thanks for meeting, bye. It's not really a great friendship, is it? What if they deferred to your needs, not just talking about their own? Of course, we have to submit to each other for relationship and cooperative relationships to happen. And then, of course, there's the last one on the list. Church. Church. Ephesians 5:21. Let me read it to you. It really is the lead thought of what follows. Ephesians 5:21, as I said, is the heart of everything that you read after that. And when you get that, you don't abuse the verses that come after that, and they have been abused. But when you read it in the context of verse 21, this is verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. The overarching principle in church life is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That is not just one group of people, that's everybody. Everybody, no matter what their position, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Now that's important because when you get to verse 22, wives submit to your husbands, it's actually in the context of Paul telling everyone to submit, not just one group of people. This is what it says. Here's Ephesians 5:21, a verse that a chapter that is a little bit interesting to the outside world, really. And it's a passage that's been used and abused over the years. And to the casual eye, it feels pretty oppressive. I just highlighted two phrases. Look at this. A husband is the head, as Christ is the head. That's the heart of this. A husband is head in as much as Christ is the head, in the same way that Christ is a head. It says Christ is head of the church as husband is head of the wife. Does that mean boss? As you experience God as head of the church, does it mean boss? I don't think so. That's not the same term. When you read head, you read boss? No. No. Jesus is not my boss. Do you know what Jesus is? Do you know what it says he is? Savior. He's not my boss. He's my savior. That's what head means. That's what it means. A wife's supposed to submit to husbands because the husband's the boss. And just because they're male. Look at the context. What is Jesus' role as the head? It says he is the saviour of the body. Wives are not to submit to the husband because he's male or because he's a boss. They're to submit according to the responsibility, to his responsibility to love them with sacrificial love that is willing to give up all and rescue and preserve as head equals saviour. That's the relationship. That's what it means to rescue and preserve. That's what the word is talking about. That's the likeness that he's making the comparison with. And then look at what husbands are supposed to do. And if you notice, actually there's a lot more demand on husbands than there is on wives. Look at this. It's a lot bigger passage than what is just said to the wives. And it's under the context of verse 21, we're all to submit. Verse 25 to the end of the chapter, he says, love your wives. He said, give up your life. He says, wash and cleanse. Christ does that for the church. Husbands, do that for your wives. That's how you submit. We present our partners, our spouses, in glory. We beautify their lives. We love. That's what it means to be a head, not a boss. It means this. Paul says, as you would your own body. He uses the phrase, to feed and to care. In other words, to nourish and to cherish somebody. That's what it means to submit. He says we establish a new identity around our wife or our husband and our family. He says we should join to her. He says we should love her as we love ourselves. Are all these, listen, here's the question. Are those characteristics of a CEO, of a chief executive officer? are those characteristics of a chief or a captain or a boss? Does that sound right to you? Friends, those are characteristics of one thing, a servant. Those are characteristics of a servant. The best definition of marriage I've ever heard is probably the simplest one, and this is it. Marriage is a commitment to serve another person for the rest of your life. That's marriage. And that's the description there. To serve. It's not about boss. It's not about being a boss. It's about being a servant. What did Jesus say? The greatest among you will be a servant. A servant. And we seem to have imported some human titles and positions into these relationships when we see the word head. And that's certainly not what that is saying. They're the characteristics of a man who regularly and habitually yields his preference in order to serve the well-being of his wife and family. That's what it means. And every time you change the car, the house, or put something in the diary, you do it in this context. What is best for us? Not, this is what I suggest, this is what we're doing, and I'm the boss. That is not a biblical definition of headship in the family. I submit to you that is headship. Being like Christ. Not, I'll call all the shots, you do what I say, and this is what I want to do with my money. That is not headship. That is not it. Husbands, your goal in marriage is to model Christ's sacrificial love so completely that your wife can't tell the difference between you and Jesus. That's headship. Now, men, is that enough of a challenge for your masculinity? Is that going to take a real man to go for that? You bet it is. That's weird. It's my next, listen to this, my next line. Have you read my script? No wonder God wants marriage to last a lifetime. You can't love like that without lots of chances to blow it and try again and get better. Bang on. It will take the rest of your life. And you'll never finish it until God finishes it for you and transforms you into the person you were always made to be. That's what it looks like. Fantastic. Paul goes on and he talks about other relationships where we submit. And I'm going to flash through these. So we got children need to defer to their parents. Fathers need to do their bit. He says it's all in the context of verse 21. Submit. Bringing them up. Does that sound oppressive to you? Fathers, bring them up. That's a term about nurture. That's a term about nurturing your children. That's not oppressive. He talks about slaves. Now that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? A, because we don't agree in slavery, and William Wilberforce spent a lot of time sorting that out for us. But there is a cultural gap here between the first century, where that was how the world worked, and our culture, where we've wised up to that. Our nearest comparison, and it grieves me to say this, but probably our nearest comparison, if you want to put this in a modern context, is employment, isn't it? That's probably about as near as you're going to get here. And there's some real wisdom here if you apply these principles to employees. Your work in the marketplace. And that it is just as much for God as for your boss in the marketplace. That's where you apply submission there. You apply the principle that I'm doing this for God. So you do your best. Our nearest comparison would be that. Offer your work as a gift to God. It'll transform your attitude. If you do your job tomorrow, Monday morning, as to Jesus, and trust me, your boss will appreciate that. Because you won't cut corners. You won't skip off early. You won't do enough. You do the best you can. Because you're doing it for him. Submission to Christ. will change your work life. Will change your work life. Do it as you are doing it to the Lord. And then he talks about masters as well. Bosses, I suppose, if we put it in a modern context. Bosses. Treat them the same way. I love that. It's not just servants, you go and slaves, you go and employees, you go and work for them and you do your best. And he says, and you bosses, you treat them like they're treating you. You do exactly the same thing. Give them the same privileges, the same respect, the same opportunities that you expect from them. You give it back and you treat them the same way. Could Paul say it any clearer? Christ-like behavior is not a matter of power exercised by controlling others. It's power exercised by serving others. And when you think submission, think servanthood. For the greatest among you will be a servant, says Jesus. I've given you practical reasons why we submit. And I'm going to close just with a little picture. What happens if a church or a village or a business or a family starts living with the spiritual discipline of submission as something they're practicing? What happens? Here's what it looks like. First of all, that community starts to value every person for what that person has to offer. And they yield a preference to what they can offer. There will be true humility throughout. So people are not saying, I know everything. They yield to others on the basis of their experience, of their gifting and their understanding. People would be finding ways to come under and support each other in that community, wouldn't they? In this community, they cooperate with leaders. And leaders would not only consider what's in each other's best interests, but what's in the church's best interest as well. Leaders would be saying, how can I serve you? Not, how can I use you? The church would move forward. There'd be no carnal infighting in this sort of community, would there? People wouldn't be jockeying position. They wouldn't whine if they're not used or their ideas aren't used every single time. In this community, believers would be getting promoted in their jobs because they're receiving input and they're accepting it and they're making more money for their bosses and people are wanting to do more business with them. In this community, kids grow up in homes where they see men and women, mums and dads, respect each other. Where dad doesn't use his power and his strength to dominate, but he uses it to support and to serve his whole family. And he gives up his preferences and they see him make sacrifices for them. Kids would see that kind of behaviour instead of watching mum and dad cheating on their taxes or their benefits or lying when they sell the family car or just fighting about what each of them wants, irrespective of the other's needs. Kids would see parents going for help when problems get overwhelming. Instead of acting like nothing's wrong or they know it all, they would see that. How do you think kids would develop? And we've been talking about knife crime and the problem that kids are growing up in environments where they don't have this stuff. How do you think kids would develop if they lived in a family like this? Wow! There wouldn't be any knife crime. How do you think they respond to teachers? How do you think they'd respond to their boss when they enter the marketplace later in life? How do you think they'd respond to their spouses when they get married? If they grow up in a house and a family and a community and a church where submission is taken seriously. 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says this. Humble yourselves. Submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Be submissive. That's not weak. To yield a preference takes strength. Humble yourself. Submit under the mighty hand of God. And what happens? And God will exalt you. God will exalt you. at the proper time. He will exalt churches, and he will exalt families, and he will exalt communities, and he will exalt businesses that behave in this way. Let's pray for that to happen. Here, in our lives, in our community, on a scale we've never seen before. May you have great fun practicing submission. May you have the strength to do that, to yield a preference for the benefit of God and of others, to serve. For the greatest among you will be a servant. Let's pray. So, Father, we ask you to help us with this one, because we live in a culture that says exactly the opposite, that sees submission as a dirty word, as a sign of weakness. And yet here I am thinking about your cross again and the power displayed by your submission. It literally changed the world, and it changed my life. And when a community operates with a spiritual discipline of submission, everything changes. It's what we want to live like. Help us to trust you and to trust one another enough to submit. Would you give us that, Lord? And would you build your church? We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's sing a song.